Translation: all ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends, and in familial affairs there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers, and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Purport, given by Srivangai Srila Prabhupada Ki. A conditioned living being is endowed with four principles of malpractice, namely errors, insanity, inability, and cheating. These are signs of imperfection, and out of the four, the propensity to cheat others is most prominent. And this cheating practice is there in the conditioned souls, because the conditioned souls are primarily in the material world, imbued with an unnatural desire to lord it over the material world. A living being in his pure state is not conditioned by the laws, because in his pure state, he is conscious that a living being is eternally subservient to the Supreme Being, and thus it is always good for him to remain subservient, instead of falsely trying to lord it over the property of the Supreme Lord. In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied, even if he actually becomes a lord of all that he surveys, which he never becomes, and therefore he becomes a victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest and most intimate relations. In such an unsatisfactory state of affairs, there is no harmony, even between father and sons, or between husband and wife. But all these contending difficulties can be mitigated by one process, and that is the devotional service of the Lord. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Maharaj Yudhishthir, having observed the disparities, conjectured the disappearance of the Lord from the earth. Jima prayam vivahritam shatya mishram cha sauhridam pritri matri suhrid bhratra dampatinam cha kalkanam. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends, and in familial affairs there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Hare Krishna. So, we are here. We've spent a lot of sessions now on the previous chapter. We're now coming on to chapter 14, first few verses. Before we get started, I'd like to obviously seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here in the temple room right now, as well as in the Pujari rooms, as well as those who are watching on the internet, and of course, to seek the blessings of the senior devotees as well, and apologize for any mistakes that I may cause. As Prabhupada said here in the purport, conditioned living beings are prone to making mistakes. But I'll try and just repeat what Prabhupada said. You know, from the previous chapter, Narad Muni obviously explained to Yudhishthir Maharaj what's going on with Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and Vidura. And now Narad Muni obviously, explained to Maharaj Yudhishthir how Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and the seniors are looking to kind of, you know, extricate themselves from this material world, to renounce this world, go back to what is actually important. And in a sense, through that, Narad Muni is actually indicating to Yudhishthir Maharaj that, you know, this is something you've got to have to start thinking about yourself now. You know, you've done a lot of duties, you've, you know, established dharma back on the land, and now you have to start thinking about your own plans now, you know. And so Yudhishthir Maharaj, obviously being an intelligent man, he didn't need to get through the heavy cutting treatment that Dhritarashtra got, but still, nonetheless, it's in his mind now. And we'll see. And now, obviously, we've gone to chapter 14, and we can see now how Yudhishthir Maharaj is on this mindset. And what's actually, like, crystallizing it is now he's seeing a lot of the signs and symptoms in the society. As Antaranga Prabhu said in his class this week, how there's a science called Nimitta Gyan, and through which you can see the symptoms of how things are going to turn out. And so Yudhishthir Maharaj is seeing that. Obviously, we know Prabhupada is saying here that all human beings, they have imperfect senses. They're prone to illusion, and which actually is interesting. They have imperfect senses, which then make them prone to illusion. And that illusion then makes them commit mistakes. And through the mistakes, they end up invariably cheating. So it's actually a process. Imperfect senses to illusion, to mistakes, which leads on to cheating. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing the signs here. And obviously the next few verses are all going to talk about more nimitta signs. And here we can see that the signs are looking at relationships between family, between fathers, mothers and sons, between brothers and even between husband and wife. It's interesting how pertinent this verse is when one looks at the world around us. Right now, for example, it says here, family relations, we can see now, actually right now in this period, one of the unfortunate consequences of this COVID period is there's a rise in domestic abuse, actually. There's a rise in actually mental health issues within the, you know, the households because, you know, people are just together with each other all the time. And, you know, if they've got underlying issues, now's the time when it's going to come out because they're not engaging themselves in other ways. So we can see that what Prabhupada said, what the Bhagavatam is saying 5,000 years ago, it's all playing out right now, right? And of course, one of the cliched things one can see is property disputes. You know, it's almost a cliche, especially in Indian households, when the patriarch or the matriarch, when they leave the body, then what happens? The brothers and sisters, right? You know, the mamas and the masis, as they say in India, right? They start to fight amongst themselves on the assets, and then the family breaks down. Happens again and again and again. Even amongst devotees, you know, they've, you know, shared, like, you know, these things have happened in our families and things like that, right? And of course, it says here, even between the husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Well, of course, you know, we don't want to go too much into the whole, you know, divorce. And of course, right now, there's whole gender wars going on, which has been going on for some time now, you know, for quite a few, you know, 100 years, but now is obviously coming to a head. And you can see, actually, that the general conflicting trends in society, obviously, they're also mirrored within ISKCON as well. A lot of the things that we see in outside society are there, obviously, within ISKCON. However, the good thing about when you're in Krishna consciousness, whatever conditionings we come in with, by the process of devotional service, they do start to get ironed out and start to, you know, get purified as well. So, you know, thank Krishna for that. Okay. So, so a lot of these things is going on right now. You know, it's very easy to actually fall into the whole kind of like mood of getting into social commentary about the world when you're looking at these verses, because there's actually so much going on right now in the world. You know, like, in America, there's whole kind of race wars going on and the whole global politics going on. But, one can actually go on a trip here, actually. But anyway, like I said, the good thing is the more we bring Krishna consciousness to the platform, the more we can actually get purified through the process. And the interesting thing is here that Maharaj Yudhishthira, when he's actually seeing these symptoms, he knows that because he's seeing now that the society is starting to break down, Kali Yuga is starting to get ushered in. And obviously soon later on, we can see obviously after a couple of generations, it will fully take effect after, of course, the little Brahmin boy, Sringi. He's the first one who actually breaks the Brahminical order, you know, by committing that offense against Parikshit Maharaj. It says that when Brahmanas stop doing their duty, then Kshatriyas become brutal and cruel. And when Kshatriyas become brutal and cruel, then Vaishyas, then they stop protecting and guiding the Vaishyas. The Vaishyas will end up becoming exploitative. And when Vaishyas are exploitative, then obviously the whole society suffers. So it's a ripple effect that's going on right now. And we see that in different stages in our world situation, different Varnic consciousness takes dominance. So we've all got different varnas within us, as in we've got, like, you know, there are particular varnas, they've got certain qualities, but they have to be channeled in the right way. If they're not channeled in the right way, then they can end up doing bad. So it's said that the role of brahmanas is actually to fight ignorance. That's their main role, is to fight ignorance. Kshatriyas, their role is to fight infringement of rights. So when you see people who are very much, passionate about protecting people's rights and protecting, you know, like justice being served, then you know that, okay, there's some Kshatriya streak there. Vaishyas, they're all about fighting insufficiency, right? Again, remember, this is if they're guided properly. If they're not, then they'll just take. If they're guided rightly, then their role is they'll naturally want to fight insufficiency and give facility. And of course, Sudras, when they're guided rightly, they fight indolence. Did you know when Sudras are actually channeled rightly, they're actually the most hardworking of all the Varnas? Like, they can actually work. You know, so it's not that, oh, you know, like nowadays there's this, you know, this whole kind of like mood that, oh yeah, they're working, you know, they're not working properly, lazy and this and that. No, actually it's because they're not inspired, they're not they're not actually channeled properly. And here, so that's why Yudhishthira is seeing all these signs here. He's seeing, of course, that, you know, all this is because. But one of the key things that Yudhishthira Maharaj actually realizes from all these things, after seeing all the different symptoms, what is the main, well, what do you think? What is the main conclusion he's come to? I'll give you a clue. It's something to do with the disappearance. When he's seeing these signs, what does he realize? What? That's right. Krishna is basically leaving the realm. Yes, he realizes that. That actually, that's why Yudhishthira Maharaj, you see that even though he's doing all his worldly duties, his focus is constantly on Krishna and he's seeing everything through a Krishna conscious perspective. He realizes that this is a sign that Krishna has left the place. And so then he realizes that that means I have to also now leave, because Veda Vyas actually instructed him that when Krishna leaves, that's your time to renounce the place, renounce the world. Mahajano yena gatha sapanta. Follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, tell you. And of course, in one sense, Veda Vyas is Yudhishthira's guru. So that's how we know. Tad vigatam sa gurum eva bigachet. Right? We follow what the guru tells us. Like this, Yudhishthira's seeing that. So he's kind of like making his mind now that I'm going to have to renounce this world. And there'll be more symptoms coming up soon. So Prabhupada, he actually says a few things about the description of Kali Yuga. So he says that in Kali Yuga, there's 75% irreligion now and 25% religion compared to other ages. But this 25% is also going to reduce. And obviously what will happen in the future is all there in the Shastra right now. Okay, so we follow with the Shastra. And there are certain qualities that are going to reduce considerably. So these are 8 qualities in total. I'm sure some of you know this. Dharma, Satyam, Saucham, Shama, Doya, Ayu, Bala and Smriti. So dharma means religious principles. Satyam, any ideas what satyam means? Truthfulness, saucham, cleanliness, shama, forgiveness, and then doya, yeah, compassion, mercy. Ayu, duration of life, duration of our age, yeah. Bala, strength, and smriti, memory, yes. All of these things will be, reducing drastically in this age. And therefore, Prabhupada goes on to say that the duty of the king is to make sure that citizens are in a peaceful condition, and that way these values can be maintained. Okay? Prabhupada also goes to say, just follow Krishna and get out of here. Right? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's obviously knowing that this is the case to be, and Prabhupada also goes on to say, Now Prabhupada gives the solution. So we've talked a lot about the symptoms. So now for the second half of the class, we're going to look at what are the symptoms to deal with this, these kind of social breakdown symptoms. Okay. So one thing that Prabhupada says is, Matam cha Vasudevasya. Always take instruction from Vasudev. Otherwise we become mudhas. Right. And what is the main instruction that we have for Kali Yuga? I'll give you a clue. It's a very famous verse. Do you know the verse? Hare. Yes. Hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasti eva gatir anyatha. Right? It's interesting actually. It's recited 3 times. The hare nama, hare nama, hare nama. So Prabhupada says that it's because it's giving stress that you do this, you do this, you do this. This is the way to counteract the symptoms of this age. Otherwise, there is no other way of actually mitigating the difficulties that we have. So ultimately, in Bhagavad Gita as well, we see that it says, Sarva Dhammam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Right? Ultimately, you surrender everything to Krishna by taking this process. And again, you can see that Yudhishthira Maharaj is obviously practicing this. He's following his guru's instructions. He's following, obviously, the instructions, Matam Cha Vasudevasya. Right? He's following what Vasudev is saying. And of course, he's also not whimsically acting. He's going by the scriptures, right? Because we know that if you don't follow the scriptures, you won't get any peace or happiness in this life or the next. You know, yashasta vidimutsrijya. Okay, so, now I remember a few sessions ago, Sutapa, he gave also a little story about the symptoms of Kali Yuga, about the person coming to the palace, seeing the different, you know, premonitions going on. So I'm not going to go into the whole pastime, but we're just going to focus on the last bit of that pastime. Does anyone remember, we know that the person, he sees these different omens. He goes to Yudhishthira. Can you remember what was the last thing that he saw? Of the four events. So you know, the first one is basically seeing the fence eating into the field. The second one was, the person taking the bucket of water, splitting into eight buckets, then putting it back in, it's coming up to half. Then the third symptom was, threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the fourth one, does anyone remember what the fourth symptom was? Yeah, so there's a saintly personality, right? Golden complexion with lotus eyes, with beautiful physique. And there's a massive boulder in the middle of the road, which no one can move. And the villagers, they try to get all the strong men to come and move it. They try to get the elephants and the bulls to move it. They can't move it. And then this saintly personality, dressed in saffron robes, he takes just a small thread from his robes, and he basically just waves it, and the boulder goes flying away. Does anyone remember what this signifies? Well, let's look at the boulder first. What does the boulder itself signify? Absolutely. So it's actually the darkness and the ignorance of Kali Yuga. How it's so all-pervading that we can't move it. We're like, we're like the goldfish in the water. You know, we can't even notice it because it's so all-pervading around us, right? What do the animals, the big animals, and the strong men represent? Not even our own strength. Yeah, sorry, you're going to... Not quite false ego pride. It's actually the different processes in previous ages to try and move that boulder of ignorance, right? You know, like that Kriya Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, all the Jnana Yoga, whatever it may be. These are different processes, but in this age, they don't have so much effect. Okay, then the saintly personality comes along, right? This is probably not quite an obvious one, but who does the saintly personality represent? Yes, very good. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? And then that thread that he then takes and waves it away. What does that represent? Yes, that's the Harinam process. It's so effortless, and at the same time, it's so pleasurable. It's a light process, but it actually is the one thing that's going to wave away this boulder of Kali ignorance as well. So, this is the permanent solution. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this Hare Krishna movement to save us from all kinds of difficulties, as we know. And also, Prabhupada kept saying as well that whatever you do in this life, just do it for Mahaprabhu, do it for Krishna, because he is the ultimate proprietor. You know, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam, right? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, right? He's the one that's going to actually receive everything and will actually, purify all the kind of bad effects of this age. Okay? So another thing as well, that when we talk about renunciation, we've talked about this many, many times before, that there is, of course, the external renunciation of leaving this world, which is there. There's also the internal renunciation. But what we can do is, at least in our state, because we're not fully renounced yet, we dovetail what we have in Krishna's service. And it's interesting because today is, of course, the disappearance day of Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu from Gaur Leela. And one of the main pastimes that he had was that he actually took Gadadhar Pandit to see a personality, a special personality. Do we know what the name of this personality was? Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was quite astonished that, he was very opulent. He had a lot of riches and everything, and he's chewing on his paan and things like that. And so in his mind, he was starting to question it. Is this person a devotee? Right? And then, of course, Mukundadatta could read, Gadadhar Pandit's mind. So then he started reciting the pastimes of Putana, right, from the, Krishna Leela. And as soon as he did that, then this Pundarik Vidyanidhi started to just go into ecstasy, right? And then Gadadhar Pandit realized that, he caused an offense. And he realized that this personality is actually a great personality. And it's not for me to judge externally, what level of renunciation they're on. Because externally he might be doing his worldly duties, but internally he's fully immersed in Krishna Katha. Okay, so that's another thing, is that yes, we need to renounce this world, but we do it in a gradual process. But renunciation must be there. Renunciation must be there, because otherwise, if we don't actually have that mood of renunciation in our mind to actually one day give up this place, then, we will come back, because it can externally look quite glittering. Once Umapati and Hayagriva, Prabhupada disciples, they were looking at the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam with the different bubbles, like the picture we have here. And they were looking at one of the bubbles, and it's looking really nice and beautiful. And they said, "Oh, wow, that looks really nice. I'd love to go there." And then they said to Prabhupada, "What's that place there, that bubble there?" And Prabhupada goes, "That's the material world, right? So be careful, because you like it so much, you're going to go back there as well, right? So all that glitters is not gold, right? So the whole point is that we have to have an internal mood of renunciation whilst we're also externally, obviously, doing our duties, okay? And although, so for us, obviously, as devotees, it's not just about renouncing for ourselves. Again, we've discussed this in previous chapter. As well as renouncing, we're here to also give Krishna to others, to help others. There's a nice little pastime related to that, actually, Mother Kalangana, Mataji. When there's one brahmachari, he was a pujari, and he was very, very fixed up, very, very fixed up in the manor, in this temple, right? And he would do everything very properly, very pucker. But he was very renounced. But you know, sometimes if you're renounced, but you're aware of it, you can become slightly proud. So he would like deliberately not take any maha for himself from the, you know, once he'd done his pujari transfer services or what have you, know, arti services. Of course, I guess technically speaking, I don't know, there's a whole thing there, whether you're meant to or not meant to, but that's beside the point. The point is that he wasn't taking the maha for himself deliberately. So one day, he finished his service, and Mother Kalama came running after him and goes, "Hey, look, maha, take some. I think she made some mangal sweets or something. And then this Prabhuji goes, no, I don't take maha, right? And, you know, I think Mother Kalangana also detected a bit of kind of like, you know, yes, but I'm very renounced here, right? And Mother Kalangana said something in a very innocent way. She said to this Prabhuji, oh, I see. No, I understand. Well, actually, I also don't take maha. What I do is I make it and I give it to others. And as soon as she said that, this Prabhuji realized that, oh, yeah, I'm just thinking about myself, but I'm not thinking about others, that, hey, I can still make maha and give it to other people. So, and obviously for us, whilst we're working, renouncing the world, the main thing is we give this Krishna consciousness to others in the process. So, and that's the main thing, which is why, again, it's the disappearance day today of Sridhar Pandit, also known as Kolavecha Sridhar, the famous banana seller, right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him. And we know that they used to have a rasa where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would barter with Kolavecha Sridhar all the time. Right? And, you know, like, just trying to bring the price down of the banana, not even bananas, banana skins, right? Like, banana skins, right? Just trying to bring the, I don't know if Sutapa might know this. Is it banana skins, right? Or? Oh, sorry, that's it. Banana leaves, yeah. Banana leaves, trying to bring it down and down. And then at one point, Kolavecha Sridhar was like, What are you doing? Why just bring it down more? Just take it and just give me the Lakshmi. And then Mahaprabhu would just take it and, you know, give something, just go running away. And at one point, Kolavecha Sridhar was even complaining, look, He's taking everything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually looked back and says, No, I'm not taking anything. You have everything. Because obviously Mahaprabhu is looking on a deep level that actually he's got the bhakti. He's got the real kind of like the real juice, the real substance as well. But you can see that how there's a mood of just giving and giving. Both Kolavecha Sridhar is giving, Mahaprabhu is also giving as well. In fact, he's a very, very advanced devotee. Even though he was not materially opulent, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki. So we can see that, yeah, even though he was not, you know, so materially opulent and didn't have so much material things to give, but whatever he did give, he gave fully, which is obviously our mood as well. And when Mahaprabhu, had his, what's that Leela called where he reveals his true form? Mahaprakash Leela? That's it, Mahaprakash Leela. And he actually then asked for different devotees to come to him to take darshan of him. And he actually mentioned, bring him. Kolavecha Sridhar should come and see me in this form. Like, that's a very, very high level advanced devotion there, you know. So, yeah, Kolavecha Sridhar ki. And Mukunda, Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu ki. So I thought I'd just add that in because I know it's the disappearance day today. So let's carry on. So yeah, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he's seeing the whole symptoms of Kali Yuga. We've seen, of course, he's seeing the premonition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming, right? And therefore, but at the same time, it's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Kali Yuga is the background, but obviously Mahaprabhu's activities are very transcendental. And ultimately, who's the solution for this age? It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the one that's actually going to mitigate everything for us. And actually, it was Srila Prabhupada as well. He wrote in his diary when he's crossing the ocean that my only solace is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? He actually says that. Because even though in this Kali Yuga, we're spiritually not so qualified, but we have that one thing that's going to give us the highest thing. And this is what makes Kali Yuga so glorious. So we talked about, you know, especially last couple of sessions, it's about the kind of terribleness of Kali Yuga. But actually, we're actually very fortunate that we're in Kali Yuga right now. Galer dosha nije rajan, asti heka mahangunaha, kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangat param rajate. Yes, it's an ocean of faults. There's so much stuff going on. But we have the kirtan. And this is going to basically just sort everything out. His Holiness Kadma Kanda Maharaja is giving a lecture recently on Kali Yuga. And he's giving an excerpt from a play written by Kavi Karnapurna Goswami. Right? It's called the Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak. Right? Now, obviously it's a play, but remember, these acharyas, they're obviously giving deep revelations. So through the play, they're giving like high level truths. And it's interesting, in this play, in the initial section, Maharaj narrates it so beautifully. He writes early on in the play, there's an exchange of conversation between Kali, the personification of Kali, and Adharma. Adharma is irreligion, right? There's a conversation between them, right? And actually it's saying that Kali Yuga is actually very, very upset. Right, Kali the person, he's very upset and he's like moaning and he's despondent. And Adharma, because you know they're mates, right? They're both on the same platform here, right? So Adharma saying to Kali, like, Kali, what's wrong? What I'm paraphrasing here, of course, right? What's wrong? Why are you so despondent? Why are you not full of vigor? This is your time. This is your time to shine and show your glories to everyone, right? And Kali says, no, you don't understand. There's this one boy, this Brahmana boy, he just made this whole age suddenly so auspicious. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. He's propagating these holy names. I can't do anything. Right? And so then actually he's saying to Adharma that this boy, he's taken away my power. He's taken away my power. And frankly, he's quite terrifying. He's to be feared. And so Adharma's saying, who is this treacherous wretch? What do you mean he's to be feared? You're Kali. You should not be fearing anyone. And then this Adharma goes, no, you don't understand this boy. He's born under Navadvip. He's born in Navadvip and he's cut my work to pieces. And Adharma's like, what do you mean you cut your work? You've done most of your work. You've cut off three legs of Dharma. You've just got one leg of Dharma left. Just cut that off. That's it. We can have a party basically, right? Yeah. How can you become bewildered by this Brahmana boy? Yeah. And then Kali goes, no, you don't understand. He's the master of the demigods. He came in the eclipse of the full moon. And he's here to counteract the full force of what I'm here to give. Don't underestimate him. Right? And then Adharma even says, look, this is just because he comes, so what? It's coincidence. It's got nothing to do with your power. Right? It's just all coincidence. Just like if a bird lands in a tree and a fruit falls, it doesn't mean that the bird made the fruit fall. It's just coincidence the bird happened to land there and a fruit fell. Right? And then Kali's like, no, you don't understand. For this boy, time, place, age, family, they have no meaning for him. He is beyond that. He can do anything he wants. There is nothing that I can do to him to stop him. Right? And not only that, he's got his help. He's got powerful allies. Lord Shiva himself came and brought him down here. Advaita Acharya, of course. Right? And then he said that Lord Shankarsan himself has come down to be his right-hand man. Actually, literally right-hand man. If you notice in the altar, you got Gaur Nitai. Lord Nitananda is always on the right hand of Lord Chaitanya. So literally the right-hand man. Sometimes people find it hard to distinguish who's Gaur, who's Nitai. You just know the right hand is the Nitai and the left hand is Gaur, Gauranga. Right? So the right-hand man, Lord Shankarsan himself has come. Right? And of course, Narad Muni. Yes, Narad Muni, the eternal spaceman. Even he's come. Obviously, Srivas Thakur. So like this, Adharma, I'm sorry. But I have no power. I can't do anything. And this Brahmana boy, he's attracting everyone's hearts. He's making everyone supremely blissful. He's himself carrying the signs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who's not going to accept that he's not God? Yeah? So like this, then Adharma goes, this is a great calamity. What do we do? You know what? Actually, no, there is nothing impossible for you, Kali. What about your mighty general? Lust. Lust can affect him, right? Lust is so powerful. Who can override lust? I mean, look at, for example, even Brahma. Brahma got affected by lust, right? Brahma even started chasing after Vak, his own daughter, right? What about Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva got affected by lust, right? Mohinimutti, of course, technically that was a leela, so one cannot say that was affected by lust, but, you know, Adharma is trying to present all the arguments he can against Kali, right? God of lust, and then Kali goes, you know what? I'm sorry. Even the god of lust is no match. This little Brahmana boy, in his youth, he left his wife, who is none other than Lakshmi herself, the goddess of wealth. And like a self-controlled yogi, he went to give away his father's ashes. And then he received the mantra from a disciple of none other than Madhavendra Puri. He received the Maha Mantra from, obviously we're talking here of, Ishwara Puri. Right? There is no hope. And then this Adharma goes, what about anger? And then Kali goes, anger? What can pathetic anger do? Look at Jagan Madai. Like, in one sense, they're one of Kali's best agents, right, on earth. Best Kali Chelas you can think of. What can they do? Yeah, they were doing all the sins that you can possibly commit. And what did he do? This Brahmana boy says to them, give me all the sins you committed. I'll deliver you. And he tore apart all their vices, right? So basically, Kali's realizing now that he's defeated. And although Adharma is hoping in different ways to corrupt this Brahmana boy, but he realizes that his transcendental position. And therefore it's said in this Chaitanya Chandodaya Natak that Kali Yuga has many, many effects in the world, but there are many Kali Yugas in the cycles, but this Kali Yuga is not going to happen. In this Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, who is the Brahmana boy, as we know, right, is destroying the influence of the age of Kali. Right? And yes, Bhagavad Gita may refer as a Kali Yuga as being an age of corruption, but that's only for previous Kali Yugas. In this age, Mahaprabhu's mercy is going to basically mitigate everything. And it's beautiful actually, because it's also said that Kali in this age, Kali Yuga, is creating like this very dark background, this black background. But that's not just to create darkness in the world. It's to emphasize the jewel-like shining quality of Mahaprabhu to come, so all eyes will come more on Mahaprabhu as well. So this is, I thought, is good to give the solution to these symptoms that Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing, because we're obviously seeing the symptoms ourselves. But for us, the main thing is we take shelter of this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Karmakanda Maharaj actually mentioned that, you know, obviously between each age, when one age goes to another age, there's a period called the Sandhya period, right? You know, when it's like a transition period between one. We are now currently in this Sandhya period where things are starting to settle. So that means this Sankirtan movement is actually just rising, right? Because, you know, like often we talk about, okay, when is it going to happen? When are we going to break through? Yes, we're giving books out and stuff, you know, all the things that we're giving books out. Why are we not retaining more people? We need to bring more people to the temple, right? We need to develop a more kind of like guest reception to, you know, take people around, you know, things like that, right? That is there. Obviously, we're working on it. But at the same time, understand that actually the Sankirtan movement is gradually rising more and more. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that this Sankirtan movement right now, it's like a lotus flower that's gradually just starting to open. It's not even opened yet fully. It's just starting to sprout, right? So therefore, the transcendental leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually getting more and more glorious. That's why Srila Prabhupada actually said, Gaur leela is still going on right now. It didn't just end with Mahaprabhu leaving. In fact, we are also right now in Gaur leela as we speak, okay? And what's the best way that we can actually be part of this leela and actually counteract these nimitta signs that Yudhishthira Maharaj is talking about? Counteract the effects of, you know, the whole prayanal payusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha, all that stuff. How do we mitigate it? By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So one of my favorite purports is in Canto 10, Chapter 14, Verse 8, Tattenu Kampam Shujukshamano. And in the first paragraph, I've mentioned this before actually, I think I say it a lot of times, but Prabhupada said, all you need to do is just remain alive in Krishna consciousness. That's all you need to do. Just chant each day, right, and things will happen. So, you know, I kind of take a lot of shelter of that, because I'm not so, full of good qualities, unfortunately. And I want to just finish off with this one nice little poem, which is a Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, right? Which is about the value of chanting and how I know that when we chant, sometimes chanting can be difficult, but I think this is really good because it makes us identify and realize that, you know what, it doesn't matter, we still keep chanting. It's called chant anyway, okay? Chant anyway. Your mind is wandering all over the universe when you chant. True, right? Sometimes, for me at least. Chant anyway. Your mind is wandering to the past and future when you chant. Chant anyway. You're not able to concentrate on Krishna's names while you chant. Chant anyway. You have no taste for chanting. Chant anyway. You have lusty desires. Chant anyway. You're making offenses in chanting. Chant anyway. You are not praying to Krishna to help you chant better. Chant anyway. You often chant late at night. Chant anyway. So why? Why should you chant despite all the above obstacles? Right, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Can you imagine? All of these, I'm sure a lot of us have identified with this, these symptoms. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself is making us realize that. So accessible. And then he's saying, there is no vow like chanting the holy name, no knowledge superior to it, no meditation which comes anywhere near it, and it gives the highest result. No penance is equal to it, and nothing is as potent or powerful as the holy name. Chanting is the greatest act of piety and the supreme refuge. Even the words of the Vedas do not possess sufficient power to describe its magnitude. Chanting is the highest path to liberation, peace, and eternal life. It's the pinnacle of devotion, the heart's joyous proclivity and attraction, and the best form of remembrance of the Supreme Lord. The holy name has appeared solely for the benefit of the living entities as their Lord and Master, the supreme worshipable object, and the spiritual guide and mentor. Whoever continuously chants Lord Krishna's holy name, even in his sleep, can easily realize that the name is a direct manifestation of Krishna himself, and very key to this verse, in spite of the influences of Kali Yuga. This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati, and it's also quoted in the Adi Purana. So I'll end there. So we've given some signs of Kali Yuga happening, as Yudhishthira Maharaj is detecting. Krishna's left, but obviously in one sense, Krishna hasn't left, because the solution is he's come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and through the holy names. Right, I'll end there. Any questions, comments, queries? Okay, we have Sutapa and then Antaranga Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very uplifting class. You were mentioning about Kali Yuga and how there's only one leg standing, truthfulness. At the same time, obviously, we know Kali Yuga is the age of hypocrisy. So sometimes people ask, how does that work together? That in one sense, Kali Yuga is the age of hypocrisy, but the only leg standing is truthfulness. So I just wondered if you had any reflections on that.
So truthfulness means that obviously, hypocrite is someone that may not necessarily lie. He will, spout the truth to other people, but he may not follow it himself. Right? So you can say truthful things to people. Excuse me. Doesn't mean that you'll do it yourself. Also, one thing I must mention here, though, on that, and maybe you can add on to this, actually, that Srila Prabhupada said that even though that one leg of truthfulness is there, that also will diminish within Kali Yuga as well. It's not that it's going to stay intact for the whole duration. That's also going to go down and down. So we can see that it's one leg, but even that is compromised in many occasions. But he said that that's the most salvageable one that we can work with for now. Hypocrisy means that, yes, people won't do what they say, or they won't preach what they won't practice what they preach. So the truth is available to people. People may convey the truth to people, but it's one thing to actually convey the truth. It's another thing to practice the truth themselves. For us, it's achar and prachar. Both have to, achar means practicing, and prachar means giving it to others. Both have to go hand in hand. Does that make sense? Yeah? Antaranga Prabhu and then Munine Prabhu.
Just on that, I'll just share something because someone said it to me, but I just wanted to see whether you would say it as well. But another person also said to me that Kali Yuga, and I didn't find any Shastric reference for it, but Kali Yuga, truthfulness is the last leg standing in the sense that we still have access to Shastra, which is the absolute truth. And therefore, even though there's hypocrisy, there's untruthfulness, dishonesty, all of these things, because in Kali Yuga there's still access to Shastra, in that sense, truthfulness is the only leg which is still standing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Prabhupada said, that it's there. It's one leg, and we can work with that one leg to bring other things back. So yeah, Shastra is the ultimate truth, so which can work with. So after Antaranga Prabhu, maybe then. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you, Siddhartha Prabhu. Okay, I can... Like a Sandhya period, yeah.
So what does it mean for us? What does it mean that in this age of Kali, Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago? Did he appear in the Dvapara Yug or did he appear in the Treta Yug? And in this case, if these ages swapped, what does it mean for the residents in the age of Kali?
The Dwapara and Treta, you're right. They say there's two aspects to it, because some senior devotees, they mentioned that, no, it's always Satya, Treta, Dwapar Kali. But at the same time, I do have an article, but I can't remember the reference for it. But there's a reference saying that in this cycle, Dwapar and Treta have been switched, because if Krishna appeared in Dwapar and then Treta Yuga comes and then Kali Yuga, the memory, remembrance of Krishna, because it's such a massive time, isn't it? You know, like Dwapar comes, then Treta, then Kali. There's such a massive time difference that people's memories of Krishna and his glories and his leelas of pastimes will be completely finished. There'll be a lot more hard work to try and reignite that. So therefore, because Mahaprabhu is appearing, so he's deliberately made the switch to yugas around, so that once Krishna leaves, shortly after that, Mahaprabhu can come and just, you know, scratch the surface and bring out that remembrance of Krishna. Right? So that's one thing. There's an article on that, which I can give reference to after the class. Right, that's what I've heard anyway. So, well, what I've read, should I say?
Just one point on that. So, Krishna swapped the ages for the inhabit-
because Mahaprabhu is coming. Because okay. Otherwise, you know, Mahaprabhu generally doesn't come all the Kali Yugas. He comes as and when he wants, right? But because in this particular Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu himself has come personally to give us the holy name. That's why this switch has happened.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this 28th Manvantara, yeah. So we'll go with Ian, and then Prajna Prabhu, did you have a...
No, it's okay.
Then, okay, then Ian, and then Mataji, and then...
Hare Krishna, amazing class. I was just wanting to add on the question that Sutta Prabhu was asking. I had this discussion recently, not recently, a while ago, with some devotees, also no Shastric reference, but to explain how this is the last leg is truthfulness in the age of hypocrisy, is that people are truthful about their hypocrisy in this age. We see like all the negative things that are happening in the world, people are confident about it. Increasing sex enjoyment and sense gratification is something people are honest about, and they're confident to display this in the public to everyone. You know, we can see it all over the world. So that's why truthfulness is still standing, because people are honest to say this, and that's why as we preach to people, the honest ones will say, this is my issue. And we were talking with some other devotees that the devotees are amazing. Why? Because they're honest about their defects and are coming to a place to get fixed. So that's how, you know, truthfulness and hypocrisy is kind of interrelated. So I just wanted to add that.
Oh, thank you. Very good point. Thank you. Yeah. People are audacious in their degradation in this age. Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, there's a question from online. She says, on false renunciation, what happened to a devotee that has done false renunciation in a previous life? How many lifetimes until he can attain the mercy of the Lord?
If a person has done false renunciation in his previous life, I mean, that's a subjective issue, because it depends on what they did in the false renunciation and, you know, based on that, what kind of reaction they'll get. But rest assured that if a person has false renounced, maybe due to pride or something like that, then at least they did some devotional service, right? So then, you know, as they say, neha bikrama na susti, right? There's no loss or diminution. So when they get born again, they'll carry on from where they left off, and whatever anartha that they had to work on, that pride that came from false renunciation. There's actually an art, isn't it? It comes under Sukritotha. Not Sukritotha. It's like a bhakti. There's a thing called bhaktiyota, where you collect anarthas whilst you're practicing bhakti, like profit, adoration, distinction. And also you can get pride from renunciation, being very austere. So it's anartha. So what happens when you come again in your next life, when you're going through the anartha nivritti stage, then that false renunciation anartha that you've just developed, then you just work through that and get it purified before you progress. But how long that will take, it's like how long is a piece of string. It depends on that person, the level, the depth of that false renunciation pride that he developed. If it was nothing too severe, then the quicker you'll get through it. If it was very deep-rooted, then it'll take longer.
Can I add something on that?
Yeah.
So when someone is doing so-called devotional service with anartha's pride or whatever, is it still seen as devotional service? Or is it like... it's because Krishna is more seeing the internal mood rather than the external? Or is he seeing the endeavor with all we have as well?
It's devotional service, but it's known as anisthita bhajana kriya. It means that it's unsteady activities that you're doing in devotional service. Right? So it's not, even the intention itself might be mixed. When you have anarthas, there are cloudy intentions. It's like you're not doing it fully for Krishna. There is some subtle need to do it for yourself. You know what I mean? But then if your root foundation is that you want to get to Krishna no matter what, the good thing is if you can acknowledge that you've got these other desires, but you're still practicing Krishna consciousness and know that ultimately at the end of this life, I want to get only you. I want to go beyond sakam karma. I want to go beyond nishkam karma, and I want just you, right? Then Krishna will help you to get rid of those desires gradually as you progress. So if your root desire is there to get to Krishna, these other material supplementary desires that come in, they will eventually get purified and get detached from it. But you have to be truthful with yourself and Krishna, not that you pretend to be something you're not.
Thank you.
Yes, Leon, I think this will be the final question. Prajana Pravya. Yeah.
I remember hearing a class in here where... Actually, and Gaur Govinda Swami said it several times, that the thing is, where Krishna is, Kali cannot enter. And in a class or discussion with devotees, Kali cannot enter. So he's still around. So effectively, we just have to remember that in our bhajan or whatever we do, in our endeavors, that actually Kali cannot enter into this endeavor.
Hmm.
It's the activity, and that's why Bhagavatam is here. You know, again, there's no way Kali can enter in a class.
Exactly. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Even as Kavikarna Purnamar said, isn't it, in that play? That in this age, Kali actually is defeated. He said that because Mahaprabhu's flower is rising, so therefore, as more Mahaprabhu take to Mahaprabhu's shelter, then Kali cannot affect us. So, yeah. Thank you very much. What we'll do, because I'm just conscious of the time, we'll call it today. But thank you very much. Gantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki. Yeah.